Hello, everyone. Easter blessings to you, wherever you might be. I just completed editing and uploading Herb Fitch, The Easter Miracle. And in a little while, I will make the announcement that it is available for you to hear this Easter Eve of 2012. But before I do that, I just felt, well, even before I worked on that talk, I felt there were some things that wanted to come out. And so here we are, and I truly mean Easter blessings to each and every one of you who hear this voice. To most of us, for many years, Easter has been a most marvelous, wonderful contemplation. Something we have pondered, looking to Jerusalem, looking east. Over the centuries, we see the story told of one Christ Jesus, crucified, buried in a tomb. And of course we know that when Mary came to the tomb and stooped down and looked in it, no one was there, no body was there. And we know that within minutes she turned and thought she saw the gardener, but when Christ Jesus said, "Mary," she recognized it was Christ, and her response was, "Master." And so we're told that story of one who rose from the dead, one who was resurrected from the dead into a Christ body, a Christ identity. And we marvel at that. And we wish we could do the same. And we're told over the last 7 years that we've had mystical principles up and running, we have been told in countless ways that we must follow me, the Christ, and do likewise. Please don't feel that I'm picking on you individually when I say this, because I have no one individual in mind. We listen to the story of the resurrection, we contemplate it, we wish we could follow the Christ, and then we redouble our efforts and try to demonstrate better supply out here in the world. A new employer, better health, a new companion, better human relationships, a new apartment, better financial security, a new place to live, a new automobile, a new person to share it with. A better relationship with our daughter, our son, our husband, our wife, our father, our mother, sister, brother. And we put our requests in for someone to pray for us and help to demonstrate these situations and things that we need so desperately out here in this world. Or out here in this body. Can you see the paradox here? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is in our midst. This is not poetry. This is fact. And Christ stands at the door to that kingdom here, right here and now, and says, follow me. And we say, well, I'd love to, but first, I have this pressing need. I've been unemployed now for 6 months. Or, I haven't been able to get along with my husband. He's moving in a different direction. Or, I'm out on the streets and I need somewhere to live. Can you see the... what's the word I'm looking for? The ridiculousness of it, really. Christ has issued you an invitation. If you've been a part of the mystical principles for the last 7 years, I know for a fact Christ has issued you an invitation to be resurrected into the kingdom here and now. And yet, we don't want to go, do we? We have these sheep that have fallen into the ditch. We have this marriage we have to attend. Why, we have our father we have to go bury. Well, okay, you're free to do that. But there's a voice that you have heard, if even only for a moment, that says, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me out of there. And so if you choose not to because you have things to attend to first, then of course you have decided to stay among the dead and to live a dead life. Now, I don't know how to make it any plainer than that. If, however, you have heard this Easter message today by Herb and now by myself, then maybe you're ready to stop playing with baubles and trying to demonstrate them. And maybe you're ready to step into the experience of resurrection out of the dead into the living Christ, into the kingdom here, now. I happened to yesterday be looking at the original The Infinite Way book, the chapter Spiritual Illumination, and I saw repeatedly in here where Joel issued us the invitation way back in 1947. And so I'm going to recommend that in conjunction with Herb's talk on the Easter miracle, that you study Spiritual Illumination, the chapter in The Infinite Way by Joel Goldsmith, and that you study it by reading one paragraph at a time. Just one paragraph, set it down, meditate on what you see. And let's do a little of that right now. Spiritual illumination. Spiritual illumination, which is a fancy way of saying inner realization, enables us, you and me, to discern the spiritual reality where the human concept appears to be. Spiritual sense discerns the reality of that which is appearing as concept. Now that's the first paragraph, and I don't know how you could read that without stopping to say, whoa, wait a minute. Here is the Christ inviting me to the resurrection experience. And it is saying, inner realization of what? Inner realization of Christ. When you step out of that human thinking mind with all the concepts and in the silence experience Christ, that experience enables you to discern spiritual reality which is in our midst. It's not somewhere off tomorrow. It's in our midst where the human concept appears to be. Spiritual sense discerns reality of that which is appearing as concept. Now, if you just heard Herb's talk, which I think you must have, then you know that no concept ever gets outside of the mind. Or, as Joel states later in this chapter, no illusion is ever externalized. So we know that all of these so-called limitations and lacks and problems, and also all of the good, your best friend, your sweetheart, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son, your grandchildren, this beautiful weather we have today, the beautiful spring blossoms all over. We know that both of these are concepts in the mind. There is no external world. There is only Christ. And so, if you've learned to meditate correctly, then your inner realization will enable you to discern that Christ where the human concept has been appearing. Your spiritual sense will discern reality of that which is appearing as concept. We have said we want to follow Christ. We want to have the resurrection experience this Easter, today. Well, then, it behooves us to find a way to enter our closet and recognize all of this bad, all of this good. These are concepts here, right here in this mind. And so I'm not going to try to change one to the other. Try to change a bad one into a good one. I'm going to let it go. I want to be resurrected into spiritual sense, which discerns Christ right here. You see that? And so we close our eyes. I do not live in the dead. I am done with that. I am not trying to make that better. I let go. Now, Christ, reveal yourself. Lift up. Father, lift up I, Christ, in my midst. Right out of the tomb, lift up the Christ. Reveal the Christ. My function is to bear witness to that rising Christ. And so now I drop the world of concepts here. This mind, I drop it. Christ, flow. Christ is. I behold the living Christ. Yes, I am here. I am the living Christ. Christ. And so rest back and bear witness to what Christ reveals. And I can tell you from inner experience, what Christ reveals is Christ. Christ reveals itself, the living presence of the infinite grace of God, right here. And my function to be resurrected is to rest in it and let it lift itself. That I, if I be lifted up, will draw me into it, so that I and me are one, and me disappears and I remain. This is a real inner experience. This is not poetry. If you aren't experiencing this, if you haven't found a way to reach the silence, then you need to go back to contemplation. Contemplation can lead to meditation. We are taught in the art of meditation. Contemplation can lead to that moment of stillness when Christ enters in your consciousness and lifts you into itself. And if you don't know how to contemplate, go back and read the art of meditation again. And go back and read Practicing the Presence. Because your life should be one of contemplation, with periods of meditation. Your life, you know, Joel tells us more and more we should become the beholder. And we nod our heads and smile and wink and go out as a series of concepts, living in a series of concepts. And wonder why we can't demonstrate God in that series of concepts. God's not in the human concepts. Not in any of them. Not even the most noblest, finest, most wonderful, beautiful concept there is. What about the greatest philanthropist that spends money to feed the starving? Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? You see the tears of joy as the trucks are delivering the food. It certainly looks beautiful. Where is this taking place? Is this the inner experience of Christ? Is this a resurrected soul? Or are these not just good concepts? Loving humanity concepts. And I'm not saying that service to others is wrong. I'm saying that there's another way. There's another level. There really is a resurrection, and it's here, and it's now, and it's today. It's not off in the future. It's here. It's at hand. Come and follow me. And when you are in the Christ, and the Christ moves, then you're not patching up a dream. And no one is hungry. And everyone is fed. And in a way you know not of right now. So the first paragraph of this chapter tells us we need inner realization, because that's how we discern the reality where these concepts appear. Again, Herb told us in his talk that you're not walking out that door into a world. You're walking in a series of concepts in your brain that end at your forehead. And I'm sorry, but even the good ones, even the people you love, are concepts. Which is why the people you love can suddenly become ill, can even die. You have fallen in love with a series of concepts. Yes, I'm sorry, I know. Trust me, I know. This is not comfortable. But you said you want to follow me. And so these concepts must be crucified. And who said that crucifixion was a pleasant experience anyway? It's not. Not only are you required to crucify the concepts you have of others, but now you're being required to crucify the concepts you have of yourself. Listen, we'll skip a couple of pages here. Hang on a minute, I'm going to check, because I don't want to miss anything. Okay, rather than skipping, we'll move along until we get to the place I want to be. It says here, the development of spiritual consciousness. What is the development of spiritual consciousness? Is that being able to know that on page 35 it says thus and so in practicing the presence? Is that spiritual consciousness? Is spiritual consciousness the ability to, when you feel a cough coming on, say to yourself several times, God's the only power, God's the only power? Is that spiritual consciousness? No? Well, he says here, the development of spiritual consciousness begins with our realization that what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not reality. And so we must disregard that entirely. And then spiritual illumination will come. So what is spiritual consciousness? What is the development of spiritual consciousness? What is spiritual illumination? Spiritual illumination or inner realization or the actual experience of the Christ or resurrection, that of lifting you over the mind of concepts into Christ, comes when you have realized that the senses and concepts are one. Any and everything, and there are millions of things that the senses are reporting to you even right now, they are reporting concepts. And you can look at any one of them and usually see good and bad in the same one. It's a very strange thing. But I have noticed that you can see good or bad in the same concept. For instance, I look down there, and there's my kitty cat laying in the sun, warming himself, and I think, oh, how cute. How pretty that is. And that same pretty kitty cat, sometimes I hear howling out in the woods, attacking another cat, or killing a creature and bringing it to the door. Is that cute, too? I don't think so. So this cat is cute and loving, rubs up on you and is friendly and purrs, but it's a killer, too. So you see, it's good and it's bad at the same time, isn't it? You can pick weather. The weather is raining. It's beautiful. Comes down gently, waters the fields. Everybody needs rain for their crops to grow in this neck of the woods. And yet, I have to drive to Asheville, and it's a 2-hour drive in the rain, and it's going to be a real problem because I have to have the windshield wipers going, I have to be extra alert for people that are fishtailing on the road ahead of me, and so this rain is good, this rain is bad. Well, which is it? What about your spouse? There are things about your spouse that you absolutely love. He or she does this and that, and how thoughtful they are, and they always remember this, and but now on the flip side, they don't do this and can't understand why they can't keep an appointment on time, and they perhaps they put the perhaps they squeezed the toothpaste tube wrong. They're good and they're bad at the same time. How can that be? Which is it? We've found out by watching shows on TV like Law and Order that the law is not black and white either, is it? Well, this person murdered somebody, and so they're bad. Ah, but take a closer look. There were extenuating circumstances. They had been abused before by this person, and finally that's all they could take. So that was really an okay thing. So is it okay or are they bad? Are they good or are they bad? Which is it? Don't you see? This is the world of concepts. It's called the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. But you come and follow me. But to follow me, you have to be crucified. You have to be crucified. The you that is living in these concepts and calling and asking for help to improve them. Not once or twice or once in a while, but consistently, over and over, asking for help to improve your concepts. Are you kidding me? Yeah, right. Because the minute you get one good, this one over here now has turned bad. Don't you see that this is not just a lifetime process? This is many lifetime processes. We're spinning these plates. We're trying to get them all going at the same time, and sometimes we succeed. Look at that. Ha, ha, ha. They're all spinning. Uh-oh, that one's wobbling over there. I'll get it. Uh-oh, now that one's wobbling. I'll run over there. Even when you get them all spinning at the same time, it's a temporary situation. It's not permanent. It's temporary. And you know it. Inside, you know it. But you don't have time to really look at that deeply, to really see that you must be crucified in order to be resurrected. You don't take a look at that very deeply because this one's wobbling. Would you help me? I just lost my job. Well, now we have, what, 6 months, 9 months, another year goes by until you finally demonstrate that perfect job, and you've just put off your own resurrection for another year. Oh, my goodness, my health is bad. I've been to 7 doctors, they can't help me, so I thought about giving you a call. Would you help me? Yes, I'll help you. I'll help you to die. Oh, but I don't want that. I need to be able to breathe better. I need to get over my fear of people and places. I need to get over my back problem. I need to get over my leg. It swells up when I do too much standing on the job. And so we work on that, and yes, it finally improves, and well, thank you. Well, you're welcome. Uh-oh, now this other one's wobbling. Year in, year out, another day, another day, another day, and you're not following Christ. You've put it off. You've put it off, and now the life is over. Oh, my God. And now you leave here, and now you see what you missed, and now you're told you must come back and try again. And what will be your dream that time? Will you dream of the perfect mate on a far distant island? Will you sail there, spend time with her? Will you say that you're coming back, but before you can get back, a hurricane wipes out the island, and when you finally get there, your beloved is dead? And will you mourn for 10 or 15 or 20 years? And will another lifetime be spent? How long, how many more do you want? You can have as many as you want. Take your time. But this talk is about the resurrection experience. And so I'm addressing you and those of you who want, and will, and are committed to following Christ above this plane of concepts, above the mind, into Christ. And so we look again at this chapter. We've only had 1.5 paragraphs so far. He says, because the human scene is entirely, that's all of it, even your little loved ones, because the human scene is entirely a misconception through misperception, any thought of helping, healing, correcting, or changing a material picture must be smashed. He says relinquished. I say smashed. In order that you may see reality in your midst. You see, the resurrection is awakening to reality in your midst. The resurrection is coming out of the mind of concepts and standing in Christ here, now. And so, on the next page, he says, spiritual illumination comes to us in a measure with our first investigation of truth. We believe we are seeking good, whereas the light has begun to shine in our consciousness, compelling us to take the steps we have since taken. And so it was legitimate 7 years ago when we started Mystical Principles to be seeking for a healing of a toe, or the healing of a headache, or the increase in supply, or a more harmonious relationship. But 7 years later, are you kidding me? Now, I'm not saying that you never ask for help. I ask for help myself. But I know that's not the goal. I'm not sitting around waiting to demonstrate perfect spinning plates. I know that some of these plates are wobbling, but I'm not interested in that now. If it becomes so annoying it's taking my attention off of the resurrection experience, then I might attend to it. Otherwise, I just let it wobble. Because if you seek me and my kingdom, I will make the plates smooth. Now, either that's the truth or it's a lie. I say it's the truth. I want to follow Christ. I am following Christ. I am resurrecting. I am experiencing the resurrection and crucifying a conceptual self called Bill. Right here, right now, in this body, in this mind, I crucify it. And I invite and rest and behold and bear witness to Christ revealing itself. And Joel says, I'm on the right track, because he says here on the next page, in the light of truth, that is, in that inner realization of Christ here, the greatest earthly happiness and triumph are as nothing. And at the bottom of this page, he says, spiritual illumination reveals the harmony of being. It reveals that which is. Remember, is alone overcomes the world. What is the world? The world is these concepts. There's no external world. Get that. There's no external world. No external people. No external body. No external supply. There's no external world. Ever. And so spiritual illumination reveals the harmony of being. That's what you're standing in, but you can't see it, and you can't just repeat it to yourself over and over. Well, you can, but you'll hypnotize yourself into feeling pleasantly at peace while you go through the motions of dying in the world of the dead. Spiritual illumination reveals the harmony of your being, the is that is, and dispels the evidence of material sense, which is a mind of concepts. It does not change anything in the universe, for this is a spiritual universe. Okay? Spiritual illumination doesn't change anything in the universe, because this is a universe of spirit or Christ. It doesn't change anything in your concepts. It dissolves your concepts so you can see the being you're standing in. That's resurrection. It does not change anything, he says, in the universe, for this is a spiritual universe peopled with children of God. But illumination changes or dissolves your concept of the universe. I don't like changes your concept, because then you're still stuck with a concept. I like it dissolves, which he says elsewhere in this chapter. It dissolves personal sense. It dissolves your concepts. And when they are dissolved, and you've come up over that mind, there's no more world to fix. There's no more bad world, but there's no more good world. There's being, and you see it, you feel it, you are one with it, and it is you. And that's the resurrection. And no, you don't stay in there on a permanent basis. Not in the beginning, but if you haven't decided, yes, I'm leaving, going to leave the world of the dead, this mind of concepts sitting up here on my shoulders, I'm going to step out of it. Finally, I'm going to have the resurrection experience and stand in Christ. Once you make that determination and commitment that you're not going to try to demonstrate things in the concepts anymore, you're not going to try to demonstrate improved concepts, then you can be lifted into your being of light right here, right now. Again, he says, in worshiping Jesus, we lost the Christ. You see, because we thought Jesus would help us someday to enter heaven. And all the time, we're standing in the midst of heaven with blindfold on, with a glass darkly on, looking around saying, oh my God, please help me. If God could just talk directly to us at that point, he would say, you're standing in me. What is there to help you with? Take the blindfold off. Oh, no, please, I need a car. I've got to fix my health. Oh, I'm dying. Awake, thou that sleepest, awake. And so Jesus finally said, if I go not away, you're never going to get this. The Comforter, your own being, won't reveal itself to you as long as you have me to look at. And so here it is, plain and simple. Listen, if you have any doubts, after listening to Herb, after listening to this talk, go back and read this chapter, Spiritual Illumination. In fact, even if you don't have doubts, I want all of you to read this chapter, Spiritual Illumination, one paragraph at a time. And in this paragraph, he says, spiritual illumination, that's inner realization, the actual experience of Christ in the midst of you. Spiritual illumination dispels the personal sense of self. Wow. I'm sorry, what was that? Did you say it changes the concepts about me so I have a better concept of myself? No. Illumined consciousness dispels the personal sense of self, with its problems, with its ills, with its age, with its failures, with its successes, with its harmonies, with its good things. And in its place, it reveals the real self. The real self. Capital S, Christ. The I that I am. Now, it didn't say it improved the human picture or clears up your concepts so they're harmonious concepts. It dissolves the personal self. All of you, you must be crucified. You have to get to the place. Well, we thought it was so beautiful when Joel said, more and more we must live as the beholder, watching God live its life. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Somehow we still had a self there, didn't we? No, this is rising above any sense of self. Witnessing, being a consciousness, witnessing Christ live itself. Here, now. And so, the inner realization, or let's put it this way, the resurrection experience dispels a personal sense of self, all of it, lifts you into itself and reveals, I am. This self is revealed as you retire within each day many times and learn to listen and to watch. Listening and watching is not waiting to demonstrate something in the mind of concepts, is it? It's a complete absence of any personal sense of self, a consciousness open, receptive, listening, watching. Then the Christ announces itself. It reveals itself. You actually feel it. You are resurrected into an infinite Christ self. It's startling in the beginning, and then it becomes wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the Comforter. And then it becomes your very own self, in which you rest and say, Father, animate me, use me, flow. This is just a couple of pages from this chapter so far. Now, Joel has told us several times that truth dissolves fear, hate, and love of the illusion. And we nod our heads and we smile and we think that's just the grandest thing. But if you take that into your meditation and look at it really deeply, wait a minute. If every sense of a person called Bill in me is a personal sense of a self, and truth or the resurrection experience dissolves that self, wait a minute now. Fear, hate, and love? You mean everyone that self loves has got to be dissolved? Yes, I do. And Jesus looks and says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Well, that sounds kind of cruel. When he looks at the man who wants to go bury his father and he's all cut up and bleeding about it, I have to go. I can't. Let the dead bury the dead. Well, that's not very understanding and compassionate, is it? He's saying to these people, awaken, awaken, you're dreaming. I'm not your son, you're not my mother, you don't have a father to bury. Stop this. Stop it. Come, crucify all that and follow me right now, here, into the inner dimension called Christ, another being, another plane of existence where concepts don't operate. Here, rest here, abide in me. Again and again we are told, abide in me. And we say prayers for 10 minutes in the morning and rush out into a world of concepts that we never really enter. It's all going on behind the forehead. And we think we're following Christ. You have to be crucified. It hurts. It does. But who does it hurt? Ah, that self that wants to be somebody. That self that constantly tries to build castles. The self that wants to accomplish something. The self that's the patriarch or the matriarch of the family. That self. It doesn't want to die. So I'll just say a few prayers in the morning and a couple at night, and I'll meditate a little bit. But crucify that self completely? You mean die completely? Wait a minute, what happens to me? Yeah, indeed. What does happen to you? Well, according to Joel, you're dissolved, and Christ stands there. So, again, in this chapter, spiritual illumination reveals that we are not human beings. Well, wait a minute, I lived this whole life. I went to school, I got degrees, I built that business, I helped these people, No. That must be crucified, and only Christ can remain. You've got to be lifted up out of that existence. Here, now. Resurrected into Christ. So one with Christ that there is only one, and it is Christ. This is the resurrection experience. And so, spiritual illumination reveals we are not human beings. We are spiritual being. And this light, this inner realization, not a mental thought or a new concept to add to your package of concepts. No, the experience where you come out of, you come out of and above the mind. You experience the Christ, the infinite Christ. It's a real living experience. That light destroys all of the concepts or illusions of personal sense. Now, that's what Joel says. Now, if it destroys all the concepts and you're one of them, do you think you're going to go on living a human life? You've got to be crucified. Of course it's going to hurt, because these concepts were cherished. But these concepts are keeping you in the world of the dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Come out. Come up. And I will give thee light. My light. And of course we know this beautiful paragraph because it's in front of every book. Illumination dissolves all material ties. Excuse me? Yes, that means what it says. You can hear Joel in the Kailua talk said, when you run into something here in this book and you say, Joel, does that really mean what it says? His answer is going to be, yes. Yes, it does. Illumination, or spiritual illumination, dissolves all material ties. Your neighbor across the street is no more special than your wife. Your husband is no more special than the king of Siam. It dissolves all material ties, because these are the concepts that keep you in the world of the dead. I don't want to go. I had a lady tell me, I'm not ready to do that. I can't do that. And she was being honest, and I had nothing against her. And we haven't talked in many years about these things, because she said, I can't do that. And so if that's your choice, well, stop playing. Stop pretending. No, you don't want the resurrection experience. You want a little bit of human harmony and a nice peaceful feeling once in a while. And that's okay. There are fellowships where you can have that. This isn't one of them. So you need to leave. Now, I'll probably have 50 people leave Mystical Principles over the next couple of days. But if you want the resurrection experience, you've got to be crucified. So get ready. This is something you have to pass through. And only Christ can bring you through. You can't do it. But once you have this inner experience, which dissolves and crucifies that self completely, then you are the illumined, and you walk without fear. You walk by grace. From then on, grace will live your life, not a human life in this concept box on your shoulders, the world of the dead, which never is externalized. No, grace operates here, in the midst, right here, when you are out of that mind, standing in Christhood. Grace operates always for Christ. Again, he says, the understanding that what we see, hear, taste, touch, or smell is a concept or a set of concepts about reality and is in no way related to the spiritually real universe. All right, well, let's see if there's anything else. You can read this yourself. Yes, there was something else. Let me find it. The original thing I wanted to tell you. Hang on. Okay, listen to this. The light in individual consciousness, again, that's not thoughts about God or Christ or chanting or saying words over and over that hypnotize yourself into feeling peaceful. That is sitting down, coming out from the mind of concepts, resting in an awareness of Christ being, beholding, witnessing Christ moving. You can feel it as your being. That reveals the world of God's creating, or the self of God's creating, the universe of reality. And in that experience, in the resurrection experience, the mortal scene disappears. It doesn't get better or improve, it disappears. The world of concepts gives place to my kingdom, the reality. You see that? Let's see. When you establish this truth within you, that means when you have entered into the resurrection experience, and more you're living in this divine being, your divine being, the Christ being, right here, then it becomes your real being. And now you know neither birth nor death, youth nor age, health nor disease, but only the eternal, infinite being. Now look at this. This is a very important part of a paragraph here, because it says, when you've been resurrected out of the mind of concepts, I'm not going to say this world, because when I do that, then you put it back out here. You just seem to not be able to do hear those words, this world, without putting it out here. And so we're not going to use those words anymore, or very seldom. We're going to say the mind of concepts, the world of the dead, in between the ears. When you are resurrected out of that and above that, not somewhere up in the sky 100 feet, right here, when that is laid aside, you're still here, but you have no concepts. You have a state of being in which there is silence, and Christ moves, the Spirit moves. You feel it move through you. I feel it now. When that happens, more and more you'll be living in that awareness. And you will not know birth or death, because why, when you're in that, would you climb back into a mind of concepts? That's the only place you can have birth or death. And so eternal life is that which you will find when you are resurrected into my spirit, into thy being. And so you can no longer know birth or death, youth or age, health or disease. All the opposites are gone. There's only being. And it is eternal. And it never reincarnates. It never has to. But if there's a mission to do down here in this world, then it will come in. But it will come in with full awareness of what it is. And be able to do things like walk on the water and pass through walls. Because they're only concepts. And the being knows. Again, he gives this example of taking a bath and stepping on a rope and believing it's a snake. And the one line I thought was wonderful was at the last line, and it says that when you awaken, you're joyful and happy. And this is the state of mind of one who has recognized or realized or had the inner experience that there is no personal self. I told you that dream I had. Joel was very plain. I asked him something about my life, and he said very nonchalantly, "You haven't got one. You haven't got one." And then asked if I wanted to join him for lunch while I stood there in shock. And since then, I've taken that into meditation many, 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 many times. You haven't got one. What about this? I'm worried. You haven't got one. What about this beautiful? You haven't got one. It all has to be crucified. All of you. And so it says here, right here, in black and white, in this chapter, Spiritual Illumination, that you must recognize there is no personal self. When that's recognized at depth, and you stop playing with these toys that the personal self has or wants to have or used to have or feels it should have or is trying to demonstrate, when you come out of that world, when you are resurrected into Christ being here, 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 then you experience joy and peace as you have never imagined. Which is why this world, these concepts, are not to be feared or hated or loved. Because each one of those emotions keeps you anchored in the world. In the mind of concepts, doesn't it? I hate this person. I hate this situation. I hate this disease. I'm tired of this. Okay, you're focused where? In my being? No, you're focused in these concepts. Well, I'm afraid. I'm going to lose everything. Where are you focused? Are you focused in my being? Do you have an awareness? No, you're chained. You're locked down tight on this concept. What about the good? I love him so much. I love her so much. Oh, gosh, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's hard to look at that, isn't it? It's bitter in the belly, isn't it? You mean I have to let that go, too? Yes, I do. All of personal self is an illusion, not just part of it. And so where does that love of the personal self keep you? Does it keep you seeing my being? No. No, you're locked down in here, focused on this beautiful lake, or this beautiful lady, or this wonderful man, or this beautiful house, or this cute little kitty cat, or this bad cat, or this bad dog, or this bad man, right? You're focused where? Now I'm going to apply principles and make this guy turn out better. I'm going to apply spiritual principles and stop this cat from killing. Don't you see you're working in the realm of concepts and you're trying to pull God into it, and God is saying, come up, come out, awaken, leave them alone, let the dead bury the dead, come up higher, have the resurrection experience. This is Easter, act like it. Now, the day will come from your meditations on this where you're lifted above the mind of concepts into my being right here, Christ. The day will come when it lives you and you no longer have to return to birth and death. He says it this way. Consciousness will expand until translation occurs without even taking thought. It becomes your permanent state of consciousness. And finally, well, that's the end of the chapter, and there's nothing else I wanted to say about it, but I'll wrap this up by saying, you have heard Herb's talk about stepping out of the world behind your forehead and having moments in your transcendental self. You have heard my talk about stepping out of the mind of concepts, becoming a witness of divine spiritual being as it flows, that this is the resurrection experience. And you have the quotes and hopefully the book so you can review the chapter Spiritual Illumination, where Joel tells us in no uncertain terms that we are to be crucified and risen again into our real identity as Christ. Please understand that I love you all. I know who you are because I often feel you in meditation. But each of you must decide for yourself that you are willing to go through this crucifixion and to be crucified to the point where that self is no more. And then you will have the resurrection experience. You will be lifted up into Christ being in your midst, as your midst, as your very midst. You will abide in me, and I in thee, and I and thee shall be one. One being. Now let's have a moment of silence and see if anything else comes. For this cause came you here to die, to be crucified, to be buried, and then to be resurrected unto the Father as Christ being forever one. My kingdom is at hand. It must be an experience for you. You must be crucified, lifted up out of the mind world, the mind of concepts, into Christ being as an inner experience. Here in my being, this must be your permanent dwelling place. And so again, on this most wondrous Easter Eve, the Christ says unto you, follow me into my kingdom here, now.